Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
This is Bill Shouldis. I'm a deputy chief with the Philadelphia Fire Department, and today we'll be talking about the topic of officer development, and sometimes we have to overhaul our organizational goals based on the training, the needs, the preparation, the equipment, and it all hinges on a strong leadership at the company level. This idea of succession planning, we're going to look at today's program from the very formal way that people can get an education at the community college level, at the National Fire Academy. We'll look at a homegrown program in Philadelphia, the Officer Development Program. We're going to have some guests today. The guests are going to give us a wide variety of perspective on the needs, the traits of an effective fire officer, some of the public reaction and some of the needs that the public has in upgrading the services, while the fire chief will be here who talks about stability and the controlling the cost. Every time we talk about officer development, we've got to look at some of the changes that are happening. So we'll need to look at the big picture and some of the recent events that happened in the American Fire Service. We'll be also looking at some of the subject tracks in the Philadelphia Officer Development Program, from the management side to the prevention side to the operation side, and along with fire investigation and safety will be important themes as we move through. Our guests will be the fire chief, the chief of operations, down to a new lieutenant and a new captain. The new lieutenants come to the Fire Academy for an 80 hours worth of instruction, tabletop exercise, and lectures from some of the senior and more experienced chiefs of the fire department, as well as people with specialty knowledge in terms of human resources, because the new fire officer has to manage both the station as well as the emergency scene. With that, we'll talk a little bit about family, because one of the guests today, his father was a battalion chief. He's a new supervisor, and he has a brother who's a new employee as a firefighter. So we've got a wide range of guests. We'll talk about tradition, family, some of the fears of a new officer, and some of the organized approach to help make the company officer more effective, more safe in their decision-making model.
Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
All right, this is Bill Shouldis. I'm with the Philadelphia Fire Department, and today the subject of our program is going to be officer development. We're going to look at a program from the Philadelphia Fire Department, and with us today we've got our first guest, who's the Director of Training at the Philadelphia Fire Academy, Chief Norman Ray. Chief, welcome to the program. Chief, let's begin by just going back a little bit on your background. How long have you been with the Philadelphia Fire Department?
I've been on the fire department for 22 years.
Okay, and with 22, you've spent some time in the line, you've spent some time in the staff positions?
Correct.
And you were also an instructor here at the Philadelphia Fire Academy for some time?
Yes.
And the program we're going to be talking about is on officer development. And as a company officer, I believe you did spend some time in an engine and ladder company?
Correct.
Okay. And as a new chief and as the director here at the academy, we congratulate you. And what do you see as some of the challenges for new officers now that you're in charge of training of a large metro department?
Well, they have to get used to being officers. They have to understand that they're not one of the fellows anymore, and they have the responsibility of supervising. They're responsible for the safety of their crew and the operations of the fire department.
Okay, and the fire department's officer development program, it's a structured program, and it reflects a lot off of the NFPA standard 1021. In terms of the instructors, how do you select the instructors for the officer development program?
The instructors are most of the instructors come directly from the Philadelphia Fire Department, with the exception of a few ERO people. We choose experienced chiefs or captains who specialize in a certain discipline, and they cooperate with us and develop a module and present it to the Officer Development Program students.
Okay, so some of the instructors come from the field and the staff within the uniformed services of the Philadelphia Fire Department?
That's correct.
And the Philadelphia Fire Academy, it's in the city of Philadelphia, but do we have people from the surrounding area that come here sometimes?
Yes.
Okay, and when they come in officer development, just give us a little brief background on, I guess, how that course came about.
The Officer's Development Program was designed to provide an educational platform for continuing professional and personal development of the officers of the Philadelphia Fire Department.
So the Officer Development Program, it's one that it's only Philadelphia Fire officers in there?
That's correct. Only Philadelphia Fire Department officers, newly promoted officers.
Newly promoted, and the reason behind that is that we share a lot of the lessons learned, and we try to keep it as the instructional will be from Philadelphia Fire Department perspective, where other training at the academy is open to other people. Is that true?
That's correct also.
Okay. In the officer development program, is it just a curriculum where it's in the classroom, or give us a little idea on the curriculum itself?
The curriculum includes presentations by staff units, which will give a better understanding of our organization and how it works. Technical training is also provided in such areas as fire ground strategy and tactics, emergency scene, decision making, building construction, emergency medical service, hazmat, special operations, and the NFPA arson detection for first responders. We do have hands-on in that we bring up special units and we have our students go out and check them out so they can have a better understanding of what's available for them on, if they ask for these units on a fire ground.
The program deals, that you just mentioned, a lot of operational issues, but that's only just one part of the company officer's job as a leader and as a manager, as a coach. Is there any programs that deal somewhat with fire station issues?
Yes, we have skill enhancements in the areas of leadership, conflict resolution, management, communications, interpersonal dynamics, and other related topics.
The program itself, we talked a little bit about the instructors, some of the specialty areas. You get the human resource people to come in, but most of the instructors are done, instruction is done by the Philadelphia Fire Department, which has about 2,500 members.
Correct.
And right now there's 2,300 uniformed and about 200 civilians that support that in the dispatch. Do we have anything in terms of the development of the officers where they get a better understanding on how decisions are made and leadership other than the two-week program? I know the idea of critiquing fires becomes a major issue, and we get that information out. The new lieutenants, when they come up to the academy here, how long do they come up here for?
The lieutenants' portion of the officers' development program is 2 weeks.
Okay, and then in the Philadelphia Fire Department, the first supervisor is a lieutenant, but each of the stations, there are 61 stations, there's a captain in there. Do they come up also as newly promoted?
Newly promoted captains come up for 1 week.
Okay, so we look at the captains coming up for a 40-hour program, and the lieutenants would come up for an 80-hour program.
That's correct.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the how the program mirrors the NFPA standard that we try to follow to make competent fire officers.
The program mirrors a significant portion of the NFPA 1020. Specifically, Chapter 4, which deals with Fire Officer 1. We address subjects We also address subjects that are applicable to the daily operations of the Philadelphia Fire Department.
All right, the idea of the NFPA standards is certainly to improve the competency, the health, the wellness of the firefighters, and make better decisions in the station as well as the fire ground. But keeping the records, do you do that here at the academy, or how do we take care of that?
Yes, we do. We have a database, and all the training that we provide is placed into that database under the individual's name and payroll number. And if we have to refer to it, it's easy enough for us to pull up the records and determine what courses they have taken.
This record keeping, it really becomes an important part of it, especially if there's a serious line of duty injury or a line of duty death.
That's true.
Have you had any experience with, you know, with these records and how important it is and why we need to follow the standards in terms of the training?
Well, we had two members killed in the line of duty not too long ago, and their records were subpoenaed, their training records. So it's very important to have these records available for such an occasion.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, Chief, in terms of this. Lieutenant Derek Harvey was a company officer who became a line of duty death, and absolutely his training records were subpoenaed. He was in the special operations side, and then a Captain John Taylor died, and again his attendance records in officer development, and was certainly at the forefront of the important part of the record keeping and the issues on future training. What else can you help our listeners with in terms of is there any way that they could get more information on the Officer Development Program?
Sure. They can reach us at the Philadelphia Fire Academy, and our phone number is area code 215-685-8060.
Okay. Chief, is there anything else that you think the listeners would like to hear or learn about the Officer Development Program as the guy who's the hands-on person who takes care of the day-to-day training needs in a major department, which officer development is one part of it, and I know you're responsible for the new employees who get brought in as well as the in-service. In this Officer Development Program, do we do any of like the live burns or anything like that?
No, we don't do live burns during officers' development. We save the live burns for in-service training. We have weekends. We have cellar fire training, which are live burns. There are rescue scenarios involved in that training. We also have performance standards training on weekends and at nights for the companies in the 2nd Division. But we're going to expand all of that because we're going for continued firefighters training. And we're going to bring companies up, and we're going to go over basics. And it's designed to keep these guys alive, keep them safe.
Okay, Chief. And so what I'm looking at, the newly promoted people, the lieutenants and captains come to the academy for 80 hours and 40 hours, depending on their rank and responsibility in the department. And then there's continuing education for the company officers in the in-service, and that's where it gets more hands-on when they have their crews with them.
Correct.
All right, at this time we have the Chief of Operations of the Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Commissioner Ernest Hargett, and welcome to our program.
Thanks, Chief Shoulders. Glad to be here.
The first thing I think our listeners would like to hear is a little bit about your background, and give us a little bit about how long you've been with the Philadelphia Fire Department and how you see officer development.
Well, just to give a little bit about my background, I've been with the fire department for 32 years, served in a lot of different companies all around the city, and my first promotion came in 1995, and that's when I first became a lieutenant, and I served in various ranks since that time until being appointed Deputy Commissioner of Operations in 2006. I participated in the department's educational reimbursement program, which allows students, firefighters, to go to community college and pursue an associate's degree in fire science. And that was an eye-opening experience for me. I had an officer who suggested to me that that was a good way to pursue promotion and to just make myself better educated within the fire service. And so that was at community college, and that turned out to be a truly rewarding experience.
Okay, Chief, so you've actually, in your background, you've got over three decades. You've served in a line and staff position. And as a company officer, did you go through the officer development program here in Philadelphia?
And the officer development program allowed me the opportunity to meet with some of our most senior officers in the department who had a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge. And that's what the officer development program is really all about. It's about passing on the experiences so that the younger officers are receive some knowledge that they don't have to gain through experience, and that way we can focus on firefighter safety and making sure that we continue to serve the public at a high level.
Okay, with this idea of officer development in the Philadelphia system, they come as newly promoted officers, but this idea of continuing education is really important for the professional fire officer. You mentioned about your degree. What is your degree in?
I have an associate's degree in fire science. I also have a bachelor's degree in English, and I was pursuing a master's degree in education at the time, but I stopped pursuing that.
Okay, and from what I understand, that the Philadelphia Fire Department and the National Fire Academy has a good relationship where a lot of Philadelphia fire officers go down to the National Fire Academy, and I know you've been down there several times. And you're in the Executive Fire Officer Program now?
Yes, I am. But I know my first introduction to the National Fire Academy was through the Pennsylvania Weekend. And that was an eye-opening experience, and it allowed me to see just what resources were available. And I was fortunate enough to be accepted into the Executive Fire Officer Program. I'm currently in my third year. And that's a program that really does allow all its participants to really focus in on some of the tenets that they have you practice there. And one of them is to have an impact in your department on reducing firefighter deaths and injuries. And it does open your eyes up to the way things are happening around the country and other departments and the things that you can do to help develop some kind of a program in your department that's going to have an impact on the day-to-day operations and making our people be safe.
This idea you mentioned about the Pennsylvania Weekend, do you see that as an opportunity to get exposures from other departments and provide some kind of a larger perspective than just your own department?
And absolutely, it gives you your first example of some regional participation, because you get to meet people from all around the area, from all around the state, actually, who are experiencing some of the same things you're experiencing, and then you get to share ideas, different things that people have done to overcome some of the problems that we encounter, and it does broaden your horizons in terms of exposing you to different people who are working within the fire service.
Okay, good. And this idea of continuing education is really important as we move along in a profession and to learn from different examples. As the Chief of Operations, what do you like to see after a major incident? What's some of the steps that you asked your fire officer to do?
Well, I see the critiques. We do conduct post-incident critiques, and we do them at a formal level for major incidents. And I see that there are several benefits to conducting these critiques. And the first one is that the people who work that particular job, they're forced to look at their actions and objectively assess them and try to see what we can do to improve it. Second, by investing and sponsoring these events, and the department does invest a considerable amount of overtime costs, it demonstrates that the department is committed to improving our operations, which also really translates into improved safety for the firefighters. And third, it becomes available over the department's network. So once we get through the critique, we determine what lessons we've learned, and then we share that throughout the department. So in essence, from that one formal critique, we have critiques going on all over the city where people are looking at that and seeing what they've learned and then how they can take that information and use it on the next job that we may come to that has some similar characteristics.
And absolutely, I think that's one of the things that we need to look at is most fire departments, they're just not fire departments anymore. They're all risk and all hazards, and we have to take an opportunity to learn from each of these incidents. And the idea of the fire officer getting together and getting a critique, and then, as you said, putting it and publishing it for all the people who, the other platoons that may not have made it, or the people who are on vacation that time, will have an opportunity to learn, because there's absolutely no way everybody can experience all the type of hazards and risks that are out there. While we're talking about hazards and risk, how about if we just look at it, I guess, from your perspective, after 32 years being ranked, being now part of the leadership team, what do you see the greatest challenge facing new officers as we move along here in the 2007?
Well, I think that one of the biggest things is for the new officers to understand their changed role, because one day they go from working, especially going from firefighter to the first rank, which is lieutenant. They're going from firefighter one day, and then we give them the responsibility of being the lieutenant the next day. And sometimes they don't recognize right away the added responsibility, and that they have to adjust their thinking, because they are no longer just responsible for themselves. They're responsible for the safety of a lot of individuals that they take on every incident with them, as well as the responsibility of providing good service to the citizens of the city. So I think that that's a major challenge for making that first rank. And then we even see where some officers are moving up even a little bit higher. They have to adjust their thinking and see the bigger picture, because there is a big picture, and they are responsible for more and more safety and initiatives to help protect the public. So I just see the ODP as a good opportunity for our senior officers to pass along what they have and help these young officers stand up through their experience and knowledge.
Okay, Chief, I was just listening to one of the lectures, because at this time for these 2 weeks, the new officers are here at the Philadelphia Fire Academy. And when you talk about keeping that big picture in mind, it's really important that the company officer, acting as that initial incident commander, does isolate those key issues and then match the resources they have to the situation. So we see some of the challenges, and we see that this officer development is a continuing process. Can you cite maybe some of the examples, since you became the chief of operations, of programs that have been delivered to the officers once they left the officer development program?
Well, we had the incident safety officer course that we delivered. We delivered it in two phases. So this year we were able to finish it up. And now we have every officer down to the rank of captain has been given the opportunity to become a certified incident safety officer. And we believe that that translates into safer fire ground operations and emergency incident operations for all of our members. We've conducted various forms of NIMS training to make sure that all our people are up to speed on what they need to know and how we fit into a larger scale incident if we are ever involved in one. And we're preparing now to get all of our chief officers and those captains who would be acting chief officers certified in the 300 and 400 level of NIMS training. The Fire Academy is working on that right now. And we just recently finished the first phase of our technical rescue training, which was a daunting task because they need 400 hours of training. We were able to deliver the first 200 hours during the months of May and June, and we anticipate delivering the second phase, which will be additional 200 hours sometime in October. And that's certainly a challenge, but we have to keep replenishing the ranks of those individuals who have the specialized training, who may be the ones that we have to call upon to rescue our own if something ever happens. And right before that, Chief, we also had a what we call it our Tier 5 hazmat training, where we had to make sure that all of our hazmat technicians are fully certified at the state level. And that's those kind of things, getting people certified and making sure that they have the education and the tools that they need to go out there and adequately perform. We believe that giving them those certifications or allowing them to achieve those certifications enhances their confidence and their ability and their levels to go out and perform and to do so safely.
Okay, you mentioned some of the courses you brought up, the technical rescue and the amount of hours. Certainly that's a challenge in the funding side, as well as getting the instructors. Also, Driver's Assist is a program that came and developed under your leadership because this idea of accidents really can take a lot of funding to repair the apparatus, as well as the death injury rate on responders. How's the Driver's Assist working out?
Well, and the Driver's Assist program was something that I talked with our safety officer and the members of the safety office, and I told them we needed to come up with something. As you know, we had an accident a little over a year ago where we had a serious injury, and I know that we could issue directives and rules and regulations about what people need to do, but what I believe was really important was to get a driver program that was kind of peer-driven, so that they're working with some of their peers, people who have been involved in accidents, who've seen some serious issues, and to make sure that they're working and talking among themselves. When I say that, I'm talking about the firefighters who are responsible for driving our apparatus, and it does seem to have some impact, because it's not just necessarily something that's coming from the administration, but it's something that the rank and file members are buying into, and they're also buying into the idea that they have to follow through and be responsible for the safety of each other.
And one of the things the program that came out that all the officers are aware is that when there is an accident and there's a vehicle towed or there's some type of injury, there's going to be mandatory drug and alcohol testing of the drivers at that particular point. And that kind of leads us back to the idea of this health and safety issue. As a new chief, one of your priorities was to develop at the grassroots level at some accident injury prevention program. Could you explain that a little bit?
And that was one of the other things. I thought it was important because usually those kind of initiatives come from the administration and they're passed down and then everybody has to comply. And what we were able to do with this time was to provide each and every battalion chief with information about what was going on in their particular battalion on their specific platoon, and ask them to look at that data, and then to see what they could do to develop a program that would be effective and address the issues that they were confronted with in their particular area. And I think by having it driven from the lower levels, by making sure that the chiefs have the input, they get to look at the problems, and then they know their people best. So then they were able to develop committees that people within their battalion are on. So it becomes a peer-driven program, and therefore the members have an opportunity to buy into it because they get to help develop those kind of programs. And I think that the department benefits because we get a greater level of buy-in and participation, and the whole goal is to make sure that everybody is safe and everybody gets to go home at the end of the day.
So most of the committees, they do have a company officer who's sitting in on this accident injury prevention program to help with the buy-in and to really enforce this program, because they're all stakeholders in accident and injury prevention.
Right, and that's absolutely correct, Chief. And one of the things is that they also have try to have a member from every rank sitting on those committees, because then that way you get a perspective from every level of the department into what's causing or what we can do to prevent accidents and injuries.
And most of these committees, from what I understand, they not only have it at all the ranks, but because the Philadelphia Fire Department does EMS, we have paramedics that sit in there on these committees to get input from the emergency pre-hospital medical care side.
And that's absolutely correct, because they play a significant role in treating and transporting our people as well as the public. You know, one of the things that came out of that was looking at, we had a firefighter fatality passed on the fire ground a little over a year ago, and what we had done, we released our medic unit, and we recognized the importance of maintaining a medic unit on the scene, specifically an ALS medic unit on the scene while active firefighting is going on. Because while the incident has been placed under control and it appears that everything is taken care of, we recognize that any one of our members could have a serious incident or something at that point in time, and we want to have the capabilities to address them with some high-level medical care, because we did have an incident where a firefighter did go down on a fire ground recently, and the paramedics who were right there were able to defibrillate that individual and bring him back, and that individual was able to come back to work and go on and resume his career. So, you know, we regret the recent loss that we had last year, but it has forced us to change our policy, and the chiefs are instructed and advised to make sure that they hold those medic units on the scene until it's absolutely sure that everybody's ready to go home.
In fact, you mentioned that the case, and it's really a one that a lot of departments have. It was a father and his son that were both working on the same platoon when the father went down with cardiac arrest, and the son actually was a company officer who was working that particular day. So the idea of having medical care and follow-up with critical incident debriefing is some of the subjects that are covered in officer development.
Right, because these are traumatic events for all of our people, and we do have a good system of getting the notifications out and then setting up the critical incident debriefing. And one of the things that I like about the critical incident debriefing is that it's mandatory. Those people who are involved, they have to go through it, because at times, you know, firefighters tend to want to hold that stuff in and think that they're going to be okay. And we found that by making these critical incident stress debriefing sessions mandatory, people get to decompress and to let their feelings out, and then they're able to kind of go on and deal with it. Plus, it allows our professionals to identify those people who may need to be referred for additional treatment and care. So we found that to be beneficial for the department as well as for the individuals.
Okay, that's an important part. That part of officer development is developing people, and they know their expectations. The company officer knows if there's a traumatic effect, it's a policy of the agency that we're going to have this critical incident debriefing, and we have an employee assistance program that's available. The other part on this, you mentioned about the line of duty death. It was firefighter Tracy Champion, and I know you worked with him at Engine Company 54. He was well respected, and he had been around for a while. How did that kind of affect your viewpoint on R&R and the paramedics' role in staying on the fire ground?
Well, it had a tremendous impact on me, because I did know Tracy for quite a few years, and most people will tell you Tracy appeared to be in excellent condition. He was always working out. He was well defined. He was one of those firefighters that everybody tried to be like, and so it became as a big shock to us that a firefighter who appeared to be as healthy as Tracy appeared to be could have something like that happen. And one of the things that's developed out of that is the administration and the union have worked earnestly in this wellness fitness committee, and I sit on that wellness fitness committee, and we're trying to make sure that we develop initiatives and programs out of that ensure that our people are going to the doctors and getting regular checkups, and trying to do it in a non-punitive measures, because we just want people to be healthy. We don't want people dropping dead on the fire ground. So we're working together with the union to try to develop those kind of programs that are going to be beneficial, because the longer we have our employees who are well trained and experienced staying with us, we think that's better. The department is better off. So we want to make sure that we're doing things that impact on the health and capabilities of all of our members.
Okay, thanks, Chief, for your honest and really insight into running a large department, and whether it's a large department, a combination department, or in a rural area with a volunteer fire department, the risks are all the same. And the bottom line is we need to build some kind of foundation of training and safety, And there has to be a leader of each company, and officer development is one way to develop it. Chief Hargett is kind of the one out in the front to make sure that training and safety is a priority in the Philadelphia Fire Department. Before you leave, Chief, is there anything else you want to add to the new officers or the chief officers out there that are going to have to make some decisions, tough decisions, whether it be in the station or in the fire ground?
And I just say education is the key. Keep educating yourself, staying safe, the education about being safe, and making sure that all the people that you're working with are continually educated, because things are changing so fast nowadays. And the world that we operate in is definitely different. So it's important that we kind of get education, and we see our officer development program is really just another form of education. But we try to make it enjoyable and entertaining, so to make sure that our people are getting the most that they can get out of it, because ultimately they're going out and they're going to have the responsibility of leading our men and women into some hazardous situations, and we want them to be well equipped. So we're going to focus on continuing to give our people every educational opportunity and encourage them to participate in the department's educational initiative, which allows them to move up. They can go all the way up and get master's degrees at the department's expense if they so choose. But we believe that the better educated our employees are, the better the fire department will be able to function.
Okay, thanks for your time, Chief.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
All right, we're here at the Philadelphia Fire Academy, and it's our privilege to have the Fire Chief, Lloyd Ayers, with us as our guest. Our topic's going to be continuing with officer development and the need to provide the right training for people who have to make decisions as the initial incident commander and to handle decisions in the firehouse. It's our pleasure to welcome Commissioner Lloyd Ayers. And Commissioner, could you just give us a little bit on your background in the fire service?
Yes, thank you, Chief. I came in the Philadelphia Fire Department in 1974 as a firefighter for a little over 10 years, made lieutenant in 1985, captain in 1987, battalion chief in 1989, deputy chief in 2000, and John Street, new mayor for the city of Philadelphia. In mid-2000, I was appointed as deputy commissioner for technical services. In 2001, I was appointed deputy commissioner for operations and acting fire commissioner in 2004. August of 2004, and commissioner in December of 2004.
All right, Chief, thanks. And it's from your background, we can see you've had some line experience, and you've been in different staff positions, certainly as the technical services part. You looked at the code enforcement issues, and prevention was a major part of that. This fire investigation is a real important part, and it's in the Philadelphia Fire Department's Officer Development Program, the National Fire Academy module. During your time in the fire service, from firefighter to fire chief holding all ranks, what changes do you see as these new officers go from the task level wearing a blue collar to becoming a supervisor at each one of these stations?
A myriad of changes. Some of the chief pieces are that recognition that you're at the task level. You're focused on making sure that one, the fire's out. You're making sure that you're doing search and rescue. All of these things that are really critical pieces to the incident. Then when you pick up the radio and the light, you make lieutenant. You're supervising now. You have to keep not only the task level issues focused, but also the personnel issues now. They start to come in. You start looking at group congruency, team building, all of those things that that frontline, first line supervisor has to deal with. Again, at that captain's level, you're reaching out. Now you have a group of teams that you have to make sure they're functioning properly to deliver that service to that fire safety district that you're now in charge of. More outreach, more coordination, more project development, project implementation, making sure that your fire safety district is what it should be. At the battalion chief level, it just expands that that opportunity to service the community, and it comes with more challenges. Again, the being able to ensure that the training that is going on in your battalion, making sure that you're getting the outreach that's necessary, the community partnerships, team building at a larger level, the churches, the schools, all of those things start to play in. And it's a lot of just help that you do, coordinating the management process, coordinating the administrative process, and ensuring that you are what you need to be in this day and age to the community. So a lot of changes that come up through those ranks.
Okay, Chief, you mentioned a little bit about the officer development, and the Philadelphia program really breaks it into five subject tracks. The management, which you talked about some of these challenges that they're going to face, and building partners, especially as the leader at that company level. We've already talked a little bit about a fire investigation, this prevention issue. These things all cost money, and operations and safety is the other part of the module. But the budgetary concerns, how would one look at budgeting, financing, funding issues? Because NFPA standards and all say that we have to have these training. But where does the fire chief come up with the money, and how does he set his priorities?
Well, one of the things that we have to do is we have to sit down, plan with the officers, the chiefs, the different units, make sure that their vision is in connection with the vision of the city management. One of the things that we talk about here is making sure that everyone has a fair, a suitable, a safe lifestyle. Quality of life is a very high priority. And on our facet, as far as fire service, we translate those things into the vision. Making sure that we have homes that have smoke alarms, making sure that we have apparatus so that we can respond when we have to, just being part of that. And you have to sell your goals. You have to sell your goals. You have to make sure that you talk to the budget committee, you talk with finance, and let them know the importance of achieving these goals, that this money is imperative to different things like the backfill for instructors at the school that we have now. We have to pay for these instructors, so you have to have that in the budget. They need prep time, they need all of these things, and there's a cost. We have, when we take someone off the apparatus, we have to put someone back. All of these things are very important, and you have to sell your goals to the budget committee.
Okay, in terms of the cost, it's an important factor, and as we're looking through the curriculum, again, the subject tracks of management, fire investigation, prevention, operation, and safety, I've noticed that the prevention, they talk about this idea of developing a partnership, which you already talked about, with someone in the community, a fire safety representative. Can you tell me where that's part of the program, and how does that company officer develop a partnership with people in the community, and what's the purpose of it?
Well, the fire safety representative is a person in the community, designed much like block captains. And what we saw here in Philadelphia was the need to partner with a person who would take the responsibility to knock on the individual doors, sell fire safety, making sure everyone has a home escape plan, making sure that everyone has smoke alarms in their homes, one on each level at a minimum, and ensuring that they understood what to do in case a fire broke out in their home, understanding all the things that we've been doing for a long time in the community. We were still having fire deaths. That means that we have folks that are not being reached. So the Fire Safety Representative Program they actually have a responsibility. They partner with the captain and the community. They partner with the lieutenants. They tell us where those folks are that are at high risk. And we make an assessment, go in, make sure that we get the alarms in. Now at least we can get folks out of the way in case something breaks down in their environment.
This idea of fire safety representative, again, many communities have, they give out smoke detectors, which gives people early warning. But in this fire safety representative and in officer development, it talks about working with the community and then setting up a fire escape plan so correct choices could be made. When we look at correct choices, I see this operation and safety. It talks about a program where it is necessary to pass information on. And the program deals with what happens after an incident. How's this information passed on to the other platoons?
Well, one of the things that we have an opportunity to do is to bring that information into the community, into the firehouse. Into the firehouse, we talk to each other. We share information. We have all of those things that we should. We look at the directives, the operational procedures, staff notes. We have the myriad of information that comes from the Fire Academy. And those officers, they have an obligation to do that, to pass it on, share the knowledge, information. One of the things that we do in our critiques is we put on our P drive, on the computers, all of the fires that we would have, the critiques, the PowerPoint presentations, all of those things go directly into those firehouses, and it's an opportunity to share. You pass that information on.
Okay, and when we're looking at it, this idea of communications is so important, and we can see in the management module where there is hours devoted, and we've got instructors from the fire department who deal with communications issues, both in the verbal sense and the need to document and have some good written communications, because the NFPA standard talks about good record keeping. And one of our earlier guests, Chief Ray, had talked about the need to have good documentation, especially if there's a serious injury or a line of duty death. In terms of these changes, as the fire chief and coming up through the ranks, how do you see the fire chief's job? Is it changing? Or is the services and cost a major factor in your decision-making?
Absolutely. Services and costs are major factors. But the change is the community is changing. 20 years ago, the main focus and service was, of course, fire delivery. Suppression. Let me say, fire suppression, and now we're looking at EMS, study climb. It's completely reversed our numbers here in the city of Philadelphia and in other jurisdictions around this country. We focus on the emergency medical services. We focus on fire service as well with safety training and all of those things. But the community has a large demand for EMS. We make sure that we go out, we survey the community, talk to the community, find out how to best deliver these services, find out how to partner with the community groups who can help folks to understand the proper use of 911, all of those types of things that we're doing. So some of the challenges that I face is interfacing with the community, making sure that we understand what their true needs are, and then translating that to into budget dollars so that we can service those areas and make a difference. Upgrading of services that our supervisors need as far as understanding how to go out, more public speaking, more interaction with the community, more just outreach, doing programs that enhance the quality of life. So we're on point with those things, with the big vision, and staying in line with that.
Okay, Chief, you're talking about the services and the public, and the company officer really is at the forefront of any fire department in dealing with the public, whether it's an emergency response or they come to the firehouse for some public education. This idea of the public really demands a quick response, but this idea of professionalism with the officer corps is a really important part of it. What steps have you taken to increase the professionalism of the fire officer in the Philadelphia Fire Department system right now that does fire protection and EMS protection as well as hazardous material and technical rescue?
Well, one of the things that that we've done is enhance the training, training and opportunities, making sure that the officers and their development have the training opportunities. We've increased the amounts of funding that we've spent on training, and we also make sure that we talk to those upcoming officers and get them to understand the importance of professionalism. It translates into safety, translates into life safety, injury reduction, all of these things. One of the things that we try to talk about is the difference between commitment and compliance. Compliance, people comply. They make sure that they know and understand those things to help them. The directives help them to keep them out of trouble and help them to do the right thing. Operational procedures keep people safe. Make sure that they, again, do the right thing in operating. But the commitment, when you have commitment, commitment is a hundred percent plus word. It means that not only are you going to comply with what needs to be done, but you understand the traditions, the heartfelt traditions. You understand the fact that you're a pillar in the community, and that it's important that you stand tall in your uniform, you stand tall in your service, you stand tall in your commitment to the community. You're a part of the community.
And you mentioned the word tradition. The Philadelphia Fire Department's got a long-standing tradition since Ben Franklin was the fire chief to now Lloyd Ayers is the fire chief. And there has to be a plan or an organization in place for this succession planning. And succession planning is really at the root or the heart of the Philadelphia Officer Development Program. I'm going to ask you now, I guess maybe in real subjective terms, what do you see is some of the traits that a good fire officer, EMS officer, who's going to be able to handle it in the street and in the station, what traits do you look at that you want from your members of your supervisory corps?
Well, that first thing that I look for is understanding. A person that's taking the time to take in all of the information, all of the elements of the situation that he or she is confronted with. And after that, I like to see the quick decision-making. When I say quick, I mean after everything has been analyzed, they make the decision in a compassionate way, making sure that it's someone is being taken care of either in their injury or in their peril. Someone is being taken care of in their loss of their home. There's compassion. That person is paying attention to the detail right there where the rubber meets the road. They're getting all of the resources to this person or these families or these people who have experienced this this event, and that they're making sure that along with delivering that service, that safety is there. They're paying attention to safety. They're paying attention to the details. And it comes with experience. It comes with training. It comes with just making sure that your goal is to be committed to delivering the service that we're sworn to. So it's very important that I see that, one, the understanding what the situation is, what I need to do to take care of the situation, and then doing it in a compassionate way that makes sure that that citizen, that person that you're delivering that service to, when they're done, they look back and they have the opportunity to say, I was served properly. the letters pour into my office, myriads just telling us what a good job the firefighter did, what a good job that officer did, how much time this person, the paramedic or that EMS officer, took time to explain to me what I had available to me, how I could continue to move on in my life. That was important stuff.
Okay, Chief, thanks for your insight, and you mentioned this idea of keeping the big picture in mind when we track through some of the subjects in the officer development, operation and safety are two of the major topics in the subject tracks, and keeping the big picture in mind. The big picture is certainly doing a stand down. We've had some tragic news in the fire service from the Charleston, South Carolina fire with the collapse to the firefighter up in New York City who fell off the roof. Also, the reports are coming in on the Baltimore City, the training evolution with the live burn. Keeping the big picture in mind, safety has to be an important part of that. How did the Philadelphia Fire Department deal with the firefighter stand down, because the officer development course was deliberately set during that same time frame?
Well, what we looked at was the great opportunity across this country for the fire service to dig in, take a good look at what was going on with firefighter safety, making sure that we did the programs that were set up so that we could focus in and have the firefighters, fire officers, paramedics, everybody evaluating what they're doing, how to do it better, and making sure that safety was a personal issue. It becomes a team issue. You're looking out for your partners, your teammates, those that's delivering that service. But the most important thing is that it's a personal responsibility, that you're part of that integrated safety system that prevents those things from happening that we can. The things that we don't see, of course, we try to learn the lessons from the many events that have gone on recently and that have gone on in the past. That's how we learn. In South Carolina, we're waiting for the information that's going to come back so that we can incorporate it into our system and use those lessons that's learned from an event to strengthen our safety consciousness. Also, same from New York, and we just bring those things to our people. We let them understand the importance of the event and the lessons learned from the event, and we try to build them into our safety culture as well.
Hey, thanks, Chief, for your time and your commitment to firefighter safety and to helping this idea of the new officer really get a foundation of what's expected from the fire chief, as well as what the public's expecting us, because that really is the foundation of the roots when we start talking about succession planning. The investigative reports from these incidents, the lessons learned, the sharing of the information, that's all good information that we need, but we have to be willing to take these lessons and make the necessary changes in the way we develop our operational procedures, the way we do our training, and most important, what the stand down's all about is the actions of the members when they go out to the emergency scene. In closing, Chief, is there anything else that you would like to add to help the new officers in that hurdle of the first couple of years as being a supervisor?
Well, one of the key things is the resources are there for you. You have to avail yourself of those resources. And the key is performance management. Now, performance management, when you do the self-assessment, how am I performing? What am I doing? Now it's at another level. How do I help the performance of all of those folks who are part of my team? So it is about performance management, helping to build the knowledge, the skills, the ability of those members so that we can have positive outcomes on the events that we go into, whether it's a fire, a hazmat, or whether it's a community block party. You still want to have a positive outcome.
Okay, Chief, thanks for your time. And for officer development, certainly gaining the knowledge, the skills, and the confidence to move forward is an important part of any officer development program in any part of this country. Thanks for your time, Chief. All right, we're still at the Philadelphia Fire Academy, and we're looking at this idea of officer development. And with us, we have a guest who's a captain. He's presently in the 40-hour course for captain, which is also in the Philadelphia Fire Department, the station manager in many cases. Tony's been with the department for quite a while. Tony, give us a little bit about your background.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, I've been with the Philadelphia Fire Department for 13 years. I did 6 years as a firefighter, 6 years as a lieutenant, and now I'm presently a station captain at Ladder 14. And I've been a station captain for about a year.
Okay. Tony, just tell us a little bit when you came through that 80 hours as a new lieutenant. What were some of the fears of a new supervisor when you were going from that blue collar, the driver, the tillerman, the EMT, to becoming the supervisor of the people that had to do the task in the emergency scene as well as in the station? What was the fear when you were a brand new lieutenant?
Well, fear, I guess I would say that making a transition from being one of the guys and hanging out in the firehouse with my friends, my family, to saying, okay, guys, let's get it in gear. This isn't appropriate. That isn't inappropriate. Things of that nature. And the ODP, the Officer Development Program, actually gave me focus, showed me how to manage my fellow firefighters that are my friends and my family, and how to get the job done. It gave me some management skills.
Okay, when we look at the officer development, it's a very structured program in dealing with management to help you give you them skills, and it also looks at some of the operation sides as well as the safety concerns. As you say, and many new officers have that reluctance sometimes to even step up to be the supervisor when you're the buddy of a lot of people and now you have to be the boss. And there's no doubt about it, the fire service is a family that works together, and sometimes we have to take some risks together. What did you gain from that initial officer development to help you do the job as a station supervisor as well as on the fire ground?
The program itself brought in chief officers of the Philadelphia Fire Department that has gone through the process. So to hear some of their war stories was a great benefit. They use a lot of slides, projectors, PowerPoint, tabletop exercises, and all those tools just gave me more confidence to go in and be able to manage the situation with my friends and my family. The program, I think, was just invaluable for me as a newly promoted firefighter going to lieutenant. It was just invaluable. Going into the station for the first time with the white shirt on as opposed to having the blue shirt, having my friends and family look at me differently, and they could see that confidence I gained through the going through the program.
Okay, and Tony, now that you were successful as a lieutenant, and you've built up credibility, you successfully passed the examination process, and now you're a captain, you're in the 40-hour course, you're going to be being trained to have additional responsibilities. One of them responsibilities will be being an acting battalion chief, and what do you see as some of the things that you're concerned about, and how has officer development helped you gain some confidence in your new role and responsibility as a captain?
The second part of the question, let me answer that first. Yes, the officer development program for connect new captains going to acting battalion chiefs, absolutely. The program helped me immensely. Some of my concerns were, especially with the recent fire deaths that just happened, how do I manage that situation so that won't happen again? They actually, the program and the instructors in the program actually looked at fire deaths And what do we do if we're in that situation? How do we get ourselves out of that situation? How to be proactive? How to call for more help before we get to that situation? And the program actually helped me with all those things. And I guess my biggest fear, and I guess the fear for any new acting battalion chief is bring everyone home safely and alive. And the program, it kind of put me to ease with that.
Okay, and when you mentioned the fire death, are you referring to the Sofer supermarket down in South Carolina? And we also touched briefly when we talked to the fire chief about the firefighter in New York City that fell. And the chief talked about, you know, these lessons have to be learned, but we have to take our time investigating, get the facts. So you, Tony, as a new captain and a new battalion chief, can make the right decisions as we go out there. So keeping this case study review is an important part of officer development. Is there anything else that you need to add and you think that the new supervisor needs to learn from somebody who's been around for a while and has gone through the education process as well as the street learning?
Yeah, I would say that the program really stressed the fact that we are the bosses. We make the decisions. It was great being a firefighter, and it is great being a firefighter. But as an officer, a fire officer, your responsibilities are so much more. The demand on you is so much more. And to handle that, the program does a great job to put you in that position to handle it.
Okay, Tony, thank you for your time and your insight, and good luck with your added responsibilities. At this time, we've got a new lieutenant with us. Lieutenant Matthews comes to the fire department. Lieutenant, just give us a little bit on your background.
Okay. My name is Lieutenant Claudia Matthews. I came from I came to the Philadelphia Fire Department from the Philadelphia prison system, correction system. And I've been with the department for 7 years in February, 7 years, February 14th. And
okay, Lute, and tell us about, as a new lieutenant, we have some anxieties and how about the fire officer development program. Has it helped you gain a more confidence and a grasp of what the department needs from our supervisors?
Yes, it has. It has clarified some things for me as far as, of course, as a fire lieutenant, our job is other than, more than fire suppression. When there's certain entities in the department that need to be contacted, as far as fire marshal's office or LNI, or which is not part of the fire department but part of the city agencies, it just lets you know when to do things, when to do the appropriate things, and who to contact, and things of that nature. It clarified a lot of things, and it brought a wealth of knowledge from experienced, very seasoned firefighters who have now become lieutenants and captains.
Okay, and as we say, the Philadelphia Fire Department it tries to prepare the new officers for all the situations that they're going to encounter, whether it's in the station or on the emergency scene, dealing with the public or dealing with some of the members. As a new supervisor, especially being a female supervisor, what do you see as some of the challenges that you're going to have to face?
Well, some of my challenges that I see forthcoming is that firefighters as well as the public, they're not used to seeing female firefighters, let alone female supervisors, officers. So that's basically the biggest challenge. And it's good that there's basically five of us right now, and we need to be out in the public more so that the people see us. And also the firefighters see us, because five female officers is kind of it's getting to be a big department, and they don't see us often, and they don't often see us in action. So that's basically the biggest challenge, is to let the public know, also the firefighters know, that there are female supervisors in the field.
Okay, and as a member of the Philadelphia Fire Department, whether it's the in-service training or the officer development training or the continuous education, everybody's given the same opportunities, the same channels, challenges, and have to pass the same performance standards. There is no exceptions for that, because the public demands a quick response and a very professional service from the members of an organization. With 7 years on the job, is there anything else that you'd like to add to help some of the new supervisors overcome some of the training and some of the tips that you can share with them from maybe one of those non-traditional roles as a supervisor and also being a female?
Yes. If there's anything out there that you're not aware of or you need help with, there's always an avenue to take to find out, to find help. You can get help from your peers, even your subordinates. You can help get help from your superiors, and the Fire Training Academy is always here. There's someone always here to help. So whatever you're not that knowledgeable in, and you might be embarrassed or you might be a little apprehensive about, there's always someone in your path that can help.
Okay, so this idea of having a formal chain of command, but also some friends in the fire department that you can bounce off some of these situations, and this idea of the officer development creates a network of new officers that all have the same ideas, that they want to make changes, they want to do a good job, but sometimes they need some help in doing it, and now they have some peers out there. Thanks for your time, Lieutenant, and good luck in the future. We're here at the Officer Development Program at the Philadelphia Fire Academy, and we have one of the newly promoted lieutenants. He's up here for the 80-hour course, and he's a second-generation firefighter, and he's got a long tradition with the Philadelphia Fire Department, because his father was a battalion chief who had over 30 years with the department. Lieutenant McGuire, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Chief. Thanks for having me.
What I'd like to know is, we're looking at some real issues. We want some real answers. And the purpose is to look to the real responders out there who can make a difference. We're hoping that the officer development does make a difference in your life. And what have you learned, or what can you really apply as you go back to your company in the next weeks after this 80 hours of training?
Well, what I think I can take is just a well-rounded experience up here of a lot of education. We touched on a lot of different topics, everything from leadership to management to fire investigation, and what different departments in the Philadelphia Fire Department encompass, and how they can help us out in the field. So these last 2 weeks, personally for me, have been just invaluable to when I get back to my station, and how I can apply some of the principles that they try to instill on us up here onto my company, and just other firefighters and other officers out in the field, of what I've learned. So personally for me, it's been just a great experience, and just extremely, extremely helpful.
Okay, when we're talking about experience here, I'm sure you spoke to your dad before you came into the job, and you were in a busy company as a firefighter. What's some of the training and tips that he shared with you that's going to help you feel, to do a good job for the citizens of Philadelphia, as well as support the fire departments and health and safety plans?
Well, let me just tell you, my father is probably the biggest influence, or by far is the biggest influence on my life. Almost 40 years on the job, he lives and breathes the fire department, talks about it every day, is constantly calling me, asking me, you know, what's going on, any good fires, things of that nature. In fact, when he heard I was coming up for officer development, he's pretty much called me almost every night, asking what we went over, who the instructors were, and he'll give you an hour dialogue on every officer and their background and whatnot. But we constantly talk to each other, and I just constantly pick his brain, just for different things that I can, you know, learn and use, not up here for officer development, but out in the field. So I could be talking for hours about my father, about just what he means to me and with the fire department, the tradition and the passion he has for the job and what he's, how he's instilled that in me. So that's about, I could probably go on and on with you guys for that, but he's just been a huge part of my life. I was a police officer for approximately 4 years prior to getting on the job, and that really helped me to just not only appreciate the fire department, but give it just a different perspective. Our family is just ingrained in public service. I have two other brothers. One was a police officer for 7 years. He just recently got on the fire department about a year and a half ago. And I have another brother who has got about 5 years on the police department. So, you know, the city of Philadelphia is just is our home. We love it. And the police and fire department is just, you know, our life. And that's, you know, I can't say enough about that.
Okay, Lieutenant. As we say, we have now a firefighter from your family. You're the supervisor, and your dad's the chief's perspective, so there is a lot of tradition there. And as we say, we just don't fight fires. We do EMS and the all risk and all hazards that we're involved with, especially public education, and the officer development curriculum certainly looks at that as to the management side, what can we do in the prevention side, as well as when we go to the emergency scene. Lieutenant, is there anything else you'd like to add to help maybe these new officers, some of the things that you've learned, some of the fears that you may have had, and has officer development helped you to make and overcome some of those hurdles?
I think what the officer development program has done for me, it's made me realize how much more I need to know. There's so much to know out there, and how much more to continue learning. We have, the Philadelphia Fire Department offers a college training, a fire science program through a local university here, and I've gone through part of that, and I realize that I need to continue that and maybe step it up a little bit. But just the officer development has just let me know that I really need to just continue not only the education process, but also just training that much more. Fires in the city, although fire deaths are a major concern for us, the fires have gone down over the years. From hearing all the fires my father went on, they really have gone down through, you know, for different various reasons. But it makes it even harder, I think, for the officer of this generation to really stay on top of things, because we don't get as many fires, so we need to train that much more. My father, I'm sure, obviously they trained, but you know, they got more experience just from the firefighting aspect. We need to train a lot more and educate ourselves a lot more because fires, you know, don't seem to be as many as there were in the past.
Okay, Lieutenant, thanks for your time, and you're hit. Right, a bullseye and the target is that the fire officer today has a lot more challenges than maybe your dad had. The fires burn a lot hotter and the buildings collapse a lot sooner, and we have to make some decisions based on safety and experience. With that, we'll close with Lieutenant McGuire, and to all the officers who participated, the chiefs, the fire officers, we thank you for your time, your energy, and we hope this has been a learning experience. In conclusion, we've met a number of people who talked about real issues facing the fire service. They gave their best answers, and they're real responders who deal with command and control, conflict resolution, and some of the leadership problems, especially faced at the new officer level. As we talk about the emergency scene, we have to have steps pre-incident, and officer development certainly pre-incident on what's needed to conform to the NFPA procedures, as well as make an effective fire officer at the incident, and as we see the post-incident, where we take some of the steps to really take those lessons learned, the importance of sharing the lessons, and then really incorporating them into training, standard operating procedures, and the individual attitude and actions on the emergency scene. With that, we thank Firehouse.com for their support and continued success in for all new officers. And if there's more information needed, please don't hesitate to contact the Philadelphia Fire Department for some ideas on their continually improving and evolving officer development program.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio. We'll be right back.